All right, so here we are back at it through BBS Radio. Thank you, BBS, for making this possible for us. Monday, November 30th, 2020. A Monday evening, a wild card with Winfrey and Terry Brown, located in Sedona, Arizona. My name is Gijs Minderhout. I'm located in California, and I welcome you all. A wild card. Let's see if we have Lauren again here tonight with us. And as usual, this is a simulcast with a conference call. When you hear the ding, that there's people calling in live to the conference phone line. So in the meantime, I'm going to, as we wait for more people to join in, I'm going to play a song that Wynn wrote years ago. Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Yeah, hi. It's Lauren from Forks, Washington.
Welcome, Lauren.
Howdy.
Hi, Lauren.
Good to have you. Who's the other person?
Jeannie and Citrus Heights.
Welcome, Jeannie.
Hi. Hi, Lauren. Hi.
Hello, hello. All right.
We're the only ones?
We are the only ones, and we are live on BBS Radio, so whomever are listening in online are with us as well.
Okay. Lauren, are you going to talk tonight?
I still have a voice, yeah.
Good. I take that as a yes.
That's affirmative.
Okay.
Gosh, where is everybody? It's not like 7 o'clock call.
Right.
I know, it's weird, huh? That's what I was going to say, but I thought, well.
Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Bonnie in California.
Welcome, Bonnie.
Hi, Bonnie.
Thank you. Hi, guys. Hello.
Everybody's late tonight. So it's just the four of us now.
All right. Let's get on with it.
Yeah. Lauren's going to talk. Go ahead, Lauren.
You might get a chance with just us on the call.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Get started now.
So what are we going to talk about?
Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hello, hi, and everybody. Shirley from Ohio.
Good evening, Shirley. Welcome.
Hi, Shirley.
And the next caller, welcome. Please say your name and location.
It's Wynn in Sedona.
Welcome,
Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
Hello, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
Hi.
Not very many people on the call yet.
Is Terry here?
Nope.
No.
Let me go get her.
And I welcome you folks that have listened in, joined in through BBS Radio Online. Thank you for being here. And welcome the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Hi, how is Don in Northern Ohio? Hi, everybody.
Hi, Don.
Welcome,
Don.
Hi, Don.
Everybody.
And the next person, welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hi, guys. This is Jennifer from Greensburg. Hi, everybody.
Good evening, Jennifer. Welcome.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Jennifer.
You stalking me, Jennifer? You always come in right after me.
Do I? I guess I am.
We had two dings that came in. Is there somebody else?
Yes, the other person wants to stay in the background. I happen to know that without asking. Okay. Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Terry in Sedona.
Hi, Terry. Welcome, Terry.
Hi. Hello.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. Hi.
Welcome the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Good evening. It's Wanda from Liebenthal, Saskatchewan, Canada.
Welcome.
Hi, Wanda.
Wanda.
Hi, Wanda.
Do you guys remember what we're going to do today?
I never knew. I never knew, so I can't remember.
Lawrence,
are you on here?
Lauren's
going to
give us counseling session. Yeah, that's what you said last week.
Oh, that's
right. Well, we'll see. I'll probably change my mind. Actually, I'm going to continue with the idea of last week. All right? But, well, let me see. Before I say anything, where do we start the recorder? Hello to everybody in BBS.
All right. Are you ready, Vin? November 30th.
The recording has started.
This is November 30th, 2020. Wynn and Terry in Sedona. And hi for you.
They're off. Yes, I was in the process.
Okay. And this is our Monday night, wild card night. Okay. And you know what? I don't tell people to come to this call. In fact, I don't tell people to come to any of our calls. I haven't done that. And why haven't I done that? I mean, I'm
muted.
Because
unmuted.
I wasn't sure here. Let me mute you.
Muted.
I was going through a long period, which it started out when Terry was in the hospital. And I was in the hospital, and it went through for about 2 years. And I stopped actively trying to build anything. And it's kind of lingered on until today. And part of the reason, I mean, first of all, Terry was recuperating. And if you put yourself in my shoes, when we first started doing this means communicating to the Elohim and getting all this amazing understandings about everything, trying to believe that it's real, having Terry not even knowing what she's saying, and here it's me sitting there with these amazing communications, and well, I guess what's most important is to put the communications out. And then I started doing that. And then I wrote a book and gave it away for free. And on some level, I knew that it was something huge. But I didn't know how to make it huge. And then I had people coming in and leaving, people getting mad at me, people getting mad at Terry, more me's and Terry, okay? and it's like, and now we have a group that has been listening to sessions, like on Whole Planet Healing. Every night we do a reading. And I didn't know how we were going to do Whole Planet Healing. I didn't know how. I didn't know what to do, what the format was to do. I did know two things. One thing was that the channeling sessions were beyond amazing, many of them. They had the ability to kick people's consciousnesses into a larger matrix that the Elohim was using me as a repeater station, but it wasn't just like a switch. I had to do the right thing. I had to get out of the way. Like when we first started doing calls, I couldn't do them quite like we're doing them now. It was like I was thinking, okay, we're in front of an audience. What are we going to do? We have to have a central theme. How am I going to present it? And for quite some time, we never did live channelings. I don't know if any of you were there. I don't know. Maybe Heise might have been there. I don't even think Heise was there. We didn't do live channelings, but I would play channelings. And in fact, we started out with BBS radio, where it was just Don and I BSing. And I was learning how what we do impacts people. And the more I could learn it, the better I would become, because I could trust being spontaneous, and I could trust just starting to talk, and it was better than having an agenda. And I reminded myself as I was learning that, that when I was young, I used to go to a club in Philadelphia called the Main Point. And it was like folk singers. And really great people would go there. And somehow I identified with being a folk singer. This is before I even started playing music. And when it was a very nice room. People were very quiet. There was not background eating, and there was a lot of focus on the person performing. And they wrote great songs, many of them. People like Tim Hardin or Eric Anderson, and maybe even Joni Mitchell and Judy Collins were there. But it was a small room, probably 100 people. In a suburb, Philadelphia. And I remembered when I would go to those concerts, the very best moment, usually in somebody's concert, and this is funny, but was when they broke their guitar string. Because when they broke their guitar string, they had to replace the string. And they had all this 100% attention from everyone in the room. And they had to make something up to keep everyone's attention while they replaced their guitar string. And that was a very high energy moment all the time. And I kind of laughed at the time because I said, here, they're great songwriters, they're great in their music, but you know what? It was a different kind of engagement when they broke their guitar string, because suddenly they had to make something up on the spot to keep people engaged. And I remembered that, and I said, well, what if you did a whole set with a broken guitar string? Or the energy of changing the guitar string was like me talking now, not knowing where I'm going, what I'm going to do, where I'm leading to, but having the faith that it's all going to work out. And I had that model in my mind when I just started talking spontaneously. And I never did that before. And then I did some workshops. And believe it or not, I could go for 8 hours at a time and nobody wanted to leave the room. Because really, it was a matter of distracting or occupying somebody's consciousness and at the same time learning that if they got distracted, the Elohim would come in and the energy of the Elohim would come in and people would feel it. They didn't, you know, at first, no one knew what it was, and I didn't dare say it, okay? Because it would sound too crazy. And I didn't also want to say it because it made me too important. I didn't want to be on a pedestal. So it would just happen, and it took quite a while for me to talk about it. Like I'm talking about it right now, because I said, well, what if it doesn't come in? And I tell people it's going to come in, and it doesn't come in, and then I'll be screwed. I'll have no credibility. I'm talking about something that happens, but how do I know it'll happen every time? Okay? And those are all the things I've been going through for years. And now I'm confident in general that it happens all the time. Now, sometimes I don't hit the ground running. Sometimes I need a little repartee to get the energy going. But even if I'm in a bad mood or not centered, as long as I say, I'm going to say the right things, but it's not exactly that. As long as I can move into spontaneousness, that I would get the energy. And then sometimes I would move into spontaneous, and people would think that I was channeling. And I wouldn't like to say that I was channeling. I just think a better way of saying it is I'm just moving into the here and now. I'm moving into the present moment. And when I do that, I engage parts of my consciousness that are in other matrices, higher matrices, that start just working, and it flows, okay? So you guys who are coming to our calls regularly, and I figure most of the people who come to our Monday call are regulars, and have been in the experience of this, some of you for years. And you know that it's real. I don't have to try to convince you. In the old days, nobody knew that it was real. And, you know, I can't just, if I tell somebody, it might block the experience, because then they'll start looking for something instead of letting it rise up naturally. So, you know, last week we started an agenda or a conversation, and Lauren was part of it, although he was kind of stayed in the background and just did a little bit. And I know that Lauren has the ability to work with people and help them release blockages, miasms. Now, he's never done it with me, but he's done it with Terry. And I was really impressed with what he did. And so the thought was to be able to work a system that helps people not only just be sensitive to the energies of the Elohim, and not only to just learn about all these amazing things about how the other side works, how the intelligence of the other side interfaces with our realm, but to be able to manifest it in the world and make things happen, not just be a student of Elohim channelings. Now, of course, everybody can learn something from these sessions. They're quite amazing. And nothing like it, and the consistency of it, and the consistency of Terry being able to tune in, and the purity of her consciousness, because she has no care about self-aggrandizement. And at the same time, we're doing all these amazing sessions, and she doesn't even know she's doing it, because she's not listening to them. And I know they're amazing. It's only since we started doing Whole Planet Healing and I'm reading over all these sessions every night, and she's saying, oh my God, did I say that? Did I say that? And Terry, are you there? Hello, Terry. Earth,
yeah,
Terry.
Here. I'm here.
What did you think was going on when we did all those channelings and you never knew what you were saying?
Well, I like to just move on afterwards to just, you know, do the next thing and not think about it too much. But Connie was O'Brien was doing a wonderful thing, and she, for quite a while, she was transcribing them. She'd bang them out in real time, so it'd take her about an hour to do about an hour worth of transcripts. She is amazing. And so then I was editing them, but I still didn't really get it. Now I'm going through them again, and even back then I was missing words where I would put the wrong word. Like it might be, I might put vanish, and or Connie would put vanish instead of vanish, and then I wouldn't get it. But when I'm going through it now, I'm really, really getting it, and it's really some amazing things. So I've done six of them so far, and I'm on seventh. It's a series of how the universe was created. Back to you. Hello?
Hello? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, even myself, you know, it's very interesting. When we were doing all that and going through all that, I had the idea that it was quite amazing. And I wasn't sure if other people were noticing that it was amazing. Now, it's kind of like if there's... Somebody said, if a tree falls and nobody hears it fall, is there a sound? Okay? And the answer is maybe not, because sound has to have ears to vibrate so a brain can understand it. And it was like, well, who's responding to this? And you guys have been, it's like hearing the stories of how you folks got involved and how you listened so long and saying, oh my God, this is amazing. I remember the email Jennifer sent me a couple while back ago when we started doing Whole Planet Healing, and she was saying, what did you say? I don't even believe this is possible. But you know what? It's possible, and we're doing it. And Terry is making all this noise. Come on. Sit still.
I'll mute myself.
And, you know, we've come to the place where I know that all of you who are regulars on these calls have had significant spiritual advances. I know that. I can feel it. And do you know, it means that how do you work out doing things in the world with this energy? Can you make more money? Can you fall in love? Can you have worldly things without getting attached to them? How do you maneuver in the world other than just coming to our calls and feeling this good energy? And part of it is well, I'll tell you a story. Let's see. I forgot that story. I got to tell you another story. Wait a second. I'm going to tell you the story of the 4-minute mile. And as I recall, amongst runners, the 4-minute mile had never been attained for many, many years. And people thought it was impossible to attain it. And then somebody attained it, and suddenly other people were attaining it. It was like the 100th monkey syndrome, and it was no longer the limit. I remember when I used to sell sunglasses, and sometimes I had to train somebody. And I should write a book, Zen and the Art of Selling Sunglasses, because there was a very interesting thing that happened, that I would have somebody stand next to me. And I would stand in front of, you know, next to them at the booth. And I would say, just watch me. And I would start selling. And when somebody could see me sell, not everyone, but some of the people got it. They got it. And I could have never explained it to them. I could never say this, do this, do this. But when money changes hands, there's energy in it. And it's like having somebody watch money change hands connected them up with this idea, I can do that. Otherwise, people would be totally afraid to talk to a stranger. I understand how that feels. It's just like a small little hump, like when you move into it, suddenly in a flow. It's kind of like when I'm talking to all you guys, you know, when we first started, I was afraid. I mean, I just wanted to write books. And now it looks like it is. It's usually easy, usually. Occasionally I get stuck, but usually it's easy. And I can get into a flow, and it just comes out. And on that note, I'm actually talking about the topic here. I'm talking around it, okay? But I think the next step here, for those of you that want to take this step, you don't have to, but the next step is to work with you and teach you how to go beyond what you normally think are your limitations. And to have and get in your life things that you'd like to manifest and share this spiritual consciousness with other people. And I'm going to give you a chance. I hope you don't all freeze now. This is the time you all freeze and say, oh, no, he's going to make me talk. Well, open your mouth and see what comes out. Here we go. Hang on.
Unmuted.
Does anyone relate to anything I'm saying?
Yes.
So, okay. Who is that?
That's Bonnie.
Bonnie, go ahead, Bonnie.
Yeah, I relate.
And you're one of those people that you have an inner firecracker, you know.
You say that again?
You have an inner firecracker.
Ah, a fire in my belly.
Well, you know what? Early on when I was getting dream messages, and I didn't have a clue of what to do, I got a dream message, which was amazing. See, I got a lot of dream messages, but the two that really stick with me now was, it's the insanity of passion that makes things happen in the real world, okay? That was the first one. And the other one was, you finally got a job you won't get tired of. So, but when they said the insanity of passion, I couldn't access my passion. I was too something, okay? And you have a huge amount of passion, in my opinion, from my observation. But I don't think you know how to access it in a way to make things happen. Maybe you do, but what do you think?
No, I don't think I've been able to do that.
Do you know you have it? Do you know you have it?
Yes, I really do think I do.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things I've learned about expressing passion, you can't just plug passion into anything. It has to be something that you can be really passionate about, okay? It could be a love relationship. It could be an idea of expressing into the world. But pay attention to when you hit on something, okay? Because you are a dynamo. I know that. I can feel it. I know you went into your restaurant with a lot of passion, right?
Yes.
Yeah. But it's not as easy. Maybe it was not the right place.
Yeah, it's not the right industry for me, alcohol.
Yeah. Go into a bar with a bunch of people getting drunk, right?
Yeah, not. You know, I wasn't doing anybody any favors, is how I felt.
Yeah. But if I was going to work with you, I would say, how do I get Bonnie to be passionate? Now, one thing I used to be able to do is get people passionate about selling sunglasses. And I used to get people, I used to get people so passionate and good about it, they'd all quit and start their own business, which on one hand, I was proud that I could do that, right? And then on the other hand, occasionally, somebody would go in direct competition with me. And I felt like calling the mafia. Like, you know, one of the things about selling at fairs, that there are certain fairs that are really good and certain ones that are duds. And the more you learn the ones that are good by doing them and finding them. And then that was part of making a successful business. And then sometimes I would find a really good... Who's making all that noise? Hi, are you watching? Okay, let me see here. Somebody in Allentown is making a lot of noise. Who are you in Allentown? I hear you. Okay, you're muted. So, see, I totally forgot what I was talking about. This is as bad as walking from one room to the next and forgetting.
Selling sunglasses.
Right. Well, you know, I would train somebody, and they'd be next to me. And if they were going to be a good salesperson, I would make sales right away. And if they weren't, I had a really hard time making sales. Like, I was picking up on their consciousness. And I couldn't do better than their consciousness. And so I couldn't do it every time. Oh, I know what I'm saying. And then they got so good that they'd start their own business. But then they'd get a booth right down the aisle from me and compete with me. And I'm trying to train new people, and I have these people that are crackerjack, and I hated it. But that's life in the real world. That's what people do all the time. It's business. Lauren, are you making noise in the background?
It was.
You are?
I was.
All right. Well, stop it, okay? Who else wants to share something about this? Who had an experience of learning how to express passion in something they loved?
I guess I would fall in that category. Hello?
Hi. What happened to everybody else?
Hi, well, Lauren.
I think we lost Wynn.
Wynn dropped out.
I'm back. I'm back.
Okay.
Who else thinks they have a lot of passion, but has a hard time expressing it? Want me to tell you? That's not a bad thing to say publicly. Well, Terry has a lot of passion. And
right.
And when she used to sell flower pollen, where I met her, she could go all day. And you know, her love for people was like superseding, driving her passion. And, you know, she did multi-level in a really good way. And she could make other people. She would not be somebody you'd normally think would do that, but she did. And let's see, people on this line here, of course, everybody has the potential for passion.
Muted, muted. Q&A session has started. To ask your question, please press star 6. Q&A session is over.
Pushing buttons here. Hang on, hang on, hang on.
Unmuted.
Like, there's certain people here. Oh, we got. Hi, are you there?
Yes, I am. I am.
Who is it from Allentown?
I don't know.
It says Allentown. So somebody, you must have put it in, right?
No, it comes up sometimes automatically.
It does. Well, hello, Allentown. Okay. Hives has a lot of passion. In his own way. You have to keep contained. You know, another way people express passion is sexually, right? And nobody has to confess that unless they want to. But it's like when you can express passion sexually, your experience goes much deeper. You open up all your chakras and let me see. Jennifer has a lot of passion. And it's quiet passion. Let me just see here. Jennifer, are you there? I can't even unmute you. It's muted. Okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
You're there. Did you mute yourself?
Thank you. Yes, I had muted myself earlier.
I see.
There was noise in my background.
Now, do you agree that you have a lot of passion?
I do. I do. Yeah, I wish I knew how to direct it. That's the key.
You don't have to embarrass yourself.
I'm learning. I'm learning.
I mean, you can be very compelling with people, you know?
Thank you, Wynn. That was my job. I was sales.
What'd you do?
That was my career. I was a realtor.
You were a realtor? Oh, you sold real estate.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I loved it. I loved working with people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
Good.
Well,
I especially enjoyed working with young couples buying their first house. That was my favorite sale because they were always grateful. You know,
right.
I tried to help them. I treated them like I would have wanted someone to treat my young daughter or son. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt good about it. So it was rewarding. It was a lot of work. A lot of work. Yeah, but it was good.
All right.
It was, it's all good, Lynn. When I found you, that's when my world changed. When I found you and Terry.
All right.
And I started going in the direction that that we're all going in now at this point. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
I got very passionate about a number of things.
What's that?
Get very passionate about a number of things. I mean, it's quite a wide range of things.
Mm-hmm. Well, lay it on us. Come on, because we love you.
A really good art it's very inspiring to see really good artistry. And you go, you know, and because for me, I've been like, everybody think, you know, most everybody thinks of me as a technologist, and I'm a very hands-on person. And not so much anymore because I've got some physical problems there. But the I'd be quite the explorer, you know, coming up with new things and stuff, and in with different media, and I like to see things dance. And I like color, and chromatic, like sound. So I'd like to bring each of these senses in the fold. Where so it's like contact, you know, and it really, I love, like when I had a studio or you know a store. In Northern California, years ago, you know, I'd have all these different things that were just—they were very unique. And the people come into the store, most of which were tourists at the time, but occasionally you get people in the, you know, the residents of the area, you know, and Ross, you know, around Ross and Sausalito and stuff, and Mill Valley, and just see the expressions on their faces would light up my day, you know, and seem become animated, and next thing you know, you got involved in these conversations and stuff. It'd make their day just in the conversations. It was a great everybody has their own little talents and stuff, and when you see them come out with starting to express it, you know, it's like a It's like watching a flower bloom.
Mm-hmm. You know, Lauren is not telling you something. And I'm going to tell you, okay? Because aside from everything else he does, he's an artist, or he was expressing himself as an artist. And he used to live in, was it Sausalito or Mill Valley?
Actually in the area. In Marin County.
In Marin County, right.
Yeah. I lived all over Marin County.
He had, as I understand it, if I got the story straight, you had a patron there who was believed in your art and was, and it was a famous person's wife, and she was supporting you to be an artist. Am I right?
Yeah, she was a patron.
A patron.
Yeah.
Man, do you still have some of your paintings? You still have some of your paintings?
No.
No.
No, I got down to the point where I was working a 90 to 110 hour a week. And 3 to 4 days around the clock, I got burned out. So I just, I had pockets full of cash. I just closed up shop and bailed out. I mean, it's like everything was gone. And I walked away, left everything behind. And it's like several other businesses I've had. It's like I get to the point where I get burned out, and then I'd, I had a gourmet catering service natural foods. This is before anybody heard about organic food. And
I've been willing to bet that people love dealing with you because you actually have an artistic personality. You do, in spite of being brilliant as a scientist, you know? People that buy art love to connect with that kind of personality, you know? Mm-hmm. It rubs off.
Yeah, I'm that way about music, too. Yeah.
Did you play music as well?
I didn't play music so much as I designed equipment to record it and play it. And mm-hmm. And then, of course, I worked as a backup engineer at Holland Dozier Holland for a while. Remember that?
Yeah. In Detroit?
Yeah, Motown.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, cool. Is it? You know what's amazing? I forgot about that. But, you know, that's the same guys that I wrote music with.
Yeah.
Brian Holland. And those were the
Brian
people
Holland,
who, you
yeah.
know, did you like Brian? He must have. He was a great guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, of course, I didn't know him in Detroit. He and his brother were in Hollywood. And we had all these synchronicities tying us together. And I mean, eventually, he gave me the key to his office. I thought, I couldn't miss. I couldn't miss. God was on my side. He gave me the key to his office. And he said, here, Wynn, use my stationery. Get your songs recorded. And I was going to give him 10%, and he didn't need the money, but we had to make some kind of deal. And we never signed any kind of contract, you know? and later, I found out that he was one of my musical directors under Akhenaten.
Wow.
In Egypt. And so,
oh my God.
And he used to say, "Wynn Free, I don't know why I love you."
Wow.
And, you know, I went in actually, Daphne was in LA, and Daphne and I went in. And I didn't know about the Akhenaten thing, but he loved Daphne because Daphne would have been Nefertiti, right? And that was an amazing connection. And sooner or later, I'll give him a phone call and say hello to him again. And but I think that's amazing that Lauren worked in their studios in Detroit, you know.
Wow.
Motown.
That's a synchronicity too, Wynn.
Yeah, I know. Motown. In fact, that's a good excuse for me to call Brian. Will Brian remember you, Lauren?
Probably not, because I wasn't there most of the times he was. And I was doing fill-in backup for Moon, mm-hmm. Mike Stevens, and Dennis. So.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but there's funny stories about getting smuggled into my, because it's a very black community, all right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know what? They opened, it was an amazing thing. They opened a studio in a garage in a black community in mm-hmm. in Detroit, and they were bringing in all the neighbors, and so Diana Ross ended there, Brian Holland, Edwin Holland.
Yep.
And I don't know, how did you get the job as a white guy? They probably couldn't find a black person that knew how to do engineering, right?
I don't know. I don't know. There were basically three of us. The fellow, I forgot his name, Jeff, I think it was, who was the managing the place. And then, Mike Stevens and I, we were working. Mike Stevens and Moon. I call him Moon. He and Dennis were. Dennis was working part time. Mike was working pretty much full time. And how he got in there, I don't know.
Tell me something. Did you work with any of the famous Motown artists?
Yeah.
Diana Ross.
I met her a couple times. She wasn't. I came in after she had her big claim to fame, so to speak.
The Four Tops, the Temptations. Stevie Wonder, is he going in?
Yeah, I met most of them.
BBS, time is up.
I know, time's up. We got to get off.
Okay.
I have to say,
I like working with them because they were great people. And
yeah.
But they were, you know, getting really screwed around quite a bit.
Did Barry Cordy hire you?
Yeah, indirectly. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Well, I guess it's 7:57. We got to give it back to BBS. Go over the whole kind of dealing.
I like working with the artists and the the musicians and I liked working with the electronics, so it actually reflected really well. Instrumentation with me, like a test equipment stuff. It's a musical instrument to me.
Okay, I want to ask the group something. How many of you that didn't talk think you have passion in you that you don't know how to express yet?
Yeah.
Yeah. I have passion, but I can express it.
Who's that?
Terry. Boulder City, Terry. When I play music, I'm passionate about it, and when I really get into it, I just kind of take off, and it's a beautiful flow, and it just feels really great.
You're not a musician, are you, a singer?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
How did I know that?
Because you slept on my couch one night.
What's your name again?
Terry. Terry Marie.
You're not a regular, right?
Yeah, pretty much, but I haven't been calling in very much lately, mostly listening on BBS.
Oh, I hope you do, because you have good energy, you know?
Thank you. I got a CD I'm going to send you pretty soon.
I'll make you finish a song next Monday. All right, we got to go. Listen,
see ya.
Thank you all for being here. We're going over to Whole Planet Healing, 712-770-4340, and the PIN is 250513. If you didn't get that, go to wholeplanethealing.com. Look it up. It's on that webpage. Okay? And we'll see you in a moment.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
PBS Radio TV.